On behalf of Dallas KTC Meditation Center, welcome everybody. Welcome, welcome everybody. So today's program, I decide to give talk on meditation from meditation book. This meditation book, many of you have. So when we have a class on a Sunday, sometimes it's good that the books that you written by Lama D. Dorje, you bring along, because when you read in your schedule, you may have some questions. Sometimes you can request from that book chapter, particular chapter you can request, and then Lama will elaborate that chapter. So we have this text here. I'm decided to give a talk from this text about meditation. If you're a crowd down there, then we can make a cushion and between the line, it's okay too. So, I'd like to review the seven Vairochana gestures. The more we practice seven Vairochana gestures, how to sit properly during meditation, more you become used to or become custom. The less we are familiar, the hard to do it. less we are familiar, the hard to do it. So here, I want to share you, legs in a Bajra cross, legs in a Bajra posture, which really mean like cross your leg completely. But many of you may not able to do it because that yoga, that type posture, you're not familiar with it. So you can hurt yourself badly. So the next step is maybe you just do one leg is on a completely on a floor, the other one is on the top. Right now, my natural is left is bottom and the right is on the top. I don't know what you're sitting. You should check your legs, which one is on top, which one is in the bottom. The cross is like Bajra cross completely. That will be much harder, but the sitting on one leg on the bottom, one on top, it's a more easy, much easy for most people. Now you can also use a chair and other things if you are necessary, you have to use. But otherwise, it's good to sit down. So legs in a Bajra posture. We are always kind of doing things and moving. Maybe physical, maybe a physical point of view, maybe it's good all day doing something. But in a, from a meditation point of view, it is not so good when you don't know how to relax. Particularly if you don't know how to rest your physical, there is no way you can rest your mind. Because the physical is easier than a mind. Mind is not resting at all. So in order to meditate and rest your mind, the physical have to be controlled, or physical you have to be train them how to sit properly. Training physical posture also affect on training your speech, and speech not only quality will be better when you slow down, but also less stress when you're not talking too much. And repito, like repeating too many times is not getting anywhere except boring everybody. And also, not necessarily listeners that appreciate reality. Or at least you will know more and more if you are a little bit older, then you will know what I'm talking about. Hence, in the mudra of meditation. Meditation mudra this way. Meditation mudra this way. Meditation mudra this way. This way. This way. Many, there are many. And for the beginners, it's good to be tripod, like three, like camera stand, three like that type. So the two arms and your body, three, tripod. And idea is your body completely straight and as much as you can. If you're doing that entire your life on long enough, then you improve your physical gesture, physical sitting, you will improve by giving time. And then also, it will really help you. You will not, you will have less pain in your back, but also they call hunch or something that as we get older, we tend to be bent a lot. We are not getting short, but because we're getting short, it's a instead of straight, it's going like this finger. If it's too much bend, then you probably need a cane. Because it's bending too much, there's no balance. And that means you have longevity too. So it's not only bad, but it's a... maybe before you shouldn't be that much bent, and you're bending, that's no good. So, therefore, once again, making tripod and using hand mudra is very important. Hand mudra is only in a Dharma practice, not only Dharma practice or Sangha or meeting Lama, but also in your day-to-day life, you should be use your hand and be polite with everybody. Instead of one finger showing, whole hand you show, it's better. It's better the whole hand, respectful manner, using all your five fingers, and you learn over the course of entire your life. A Buddhist concept of Buddha teaching is improve your livelihood. Basically, doing the right thing. learning the positive things, that learning the beneficial things for yourself, for others, it's all about the Buddha's teaching. Reducing hurting yourself, reduce hurting others, it's all about the doctrine of the Buddhism. Is there any problem for that? As far as we know, after Buddha taught 2,500 years, really, nobody really against him. In order to against him, he had to be as good as like Buddha. If he or she is not like a Buddha, then we can always love, talking. But really, what we're talking is within your own world. That's all you're talking about. The your world, W-O-R-L-D, world, is different than Buddha's world. Big differences. But majority of people may not occur that question in your mind. Next, shoulders are spread like the wing of virtue. So both shoulders have to be even when you sit. And the more your shoulders lifted up and balanced, the straight your spine. More straight your spine means nadi, prana, bindu, energy, subtle energy, they flow interconnected, they flow more freely or smoothly, and there is no blockage. Is that word blockage? Like there's no stuck somewhere, like traffic jam. When the traffic jam, it's a slow down. And our body, the circulation, slow down certain part of our back or our feet and or part of the head, you will notice. Because immediately a doctor or something that you, it's unbearable. You will notice that. That's where the problem occurred. In a river of mountains, when they blocked, then overflowed, and the city is swimming in the water. And everybody says it's a big problem, major disaster. And the same analysis is happening in a human body when things not move smoothly and things not functioning, something blocked, something interrupted, then major problems. Actually, eventually, everything is a major problem. Bodily functioning system is eventually given up. And that is the reason you take refuge somewhere else, your consciousness. You say, I better evacuate it or else there's no way I can stay there anymore. And then your beautiful looking or ugly looking, whatever physical body, what you value them, whatever you think, you have to say goodbye. Adios. Hasta mañana. And we all have to do that, by the way. It's not some people have to do, some people don't. Maybe you don't have time to say goodbye if you get accident. I never thought about that. But anyway, you have to say goodbye. And even if you don't say goodbye, you have to leave anyway. Good relationship, you will say goodbye because when you rent house and you are moving, you will say goodbye to the landlord. And if you have bad relationship, not so much goodbye. They all go side by side, parallel. Very practical, as far as. Neck slightly bent like a hook. H-O-O-K, hook. So why don't, when I said you practice, especially if you're new, don't know. But I was hoping the seven Bharochana posture everybody use as I'm talking. So you're using that and meditating. It's very good. Using your mind wherever you focus, it's a part of meditation. If you sit too much like looking on the ceiling, it's not recommended. Unless you feel so sleepy. If you bend too much, that's not recommended. Also, it's not good for meditation. It has to be a balance and slightly chin bend and looking. Looks like you're looking. But you're looking, anything in front of you, you're looking. But you're not looking. If you're at more advanced intermediate state, you're not looking what you're looking. Your reference point just in front, but really you're looking is the movement of your mind. You're looking, not necessarily person who's sitting in front you are looking at. It just happened to be in front of you. Looking. If you're a beginner, you can't do. You can't look at your mind's movement or mind's movement, mind's condition, mind, your own mind. Then you pick up flower or you pick up something that you see in front, even in front of the person's clothes or hair or something, small spot somewhere. You look at that as your reference point, your mind. Directly look at that without shifting and moving. And absence of all other things in your mind, you have to temporarily sort of like let it go. The more you practice, the better you can do that. The less you practice, more difficult for you to do that practice. They say in the Buddhist text, most easiest thing is for sentient beings is to relax, but really they don't know how to relax. Most easiest thing is to relax, not doing anything for your body, not doing anything with your talking, not doing anything to do with your mind will be the ultimate relaxation. But this ultimate realization is boiled down to very difficult. Majority of people don't know how to do it. At the same time, it sounds so simple. It sounds so easy. Because all it says is, can you just relax, not doing anything? It's very simple, sounds very easy when you hear it. It is so difficult, really do it. That's shamatha meditation. Watch your mind. Watch your mind. Watch your mind, according to Buddhist text saying, if you know how to watch your mind properly, you watch whole world. W-O-R-L-D, whole world. The whole world of yours, whole world of yours, you're watching. So, if you want to look whole world of you, you look directly to your mind and go inside your mind. And looking into your minds, and usually in the Buddhist texts, they talk about characteristics of the mind or quality of the mind, entity of the mind, or the light of the mind, or whether it's a coming and going, where the thoughts are coming, where the thoughts are going, where did they go, and the thoughts rises, where they come from, and you go into that level and go, if you see and if you understand the nature of mind of yours, your natural mind, conditions of your mind, is the more you know everything, the rest of the world. It's also called knowing one thing, knowing everything. For unenlightened beings right now, you and me, knowing many things, but not knowing important things. That means most important thing is your mind, and you don't know. You can say, I know many things, but it's knowing many things worth not much. What is the most important things we don't know. That is knowing yourself. I don't mean knowing yourself, it's your feelings, emotions. They are related with the mind, but they are not the main mind. The nature of mind is not the emotions, attachment, anger, jealous. They are all associated with the mind, but that's not your mind. You exercise those with your mind. You practice those with your mind. You attach to them. But that's not the, your mind. Yes. Your mind is not anger. Your mind is it's an absence of everything. Some examples like your mind is like a sun. Sun means not S-O-N. S-U-N, soul, like S-O-L. The sun has a light and a heat. Apparently, all living beings are benefiting on the surface of the any planet or planet Earth. And we can say life won't exist without light and heat. So we're talking about sun. And this time sun, S-U-N, sun, is your mind. So if the mind doesn't exist, you don't exist. Your all particles that you have will go back to water, go back to water. Tomato juice, go back to tomato juice. I'm making jokes. But anyway, air, go back to air, because I didn't witness myself, but I visualize if the human is completely compressed, means make them small, it will be only 3 or 4% left, the rest everything is air or water. And there's nothing left that you can attach to it. But in the meantime, we are pretty good size walking around. And we attach to that. So that's what we're talking about here. Anyway, mind is like sun. The sun and the light and the heat is a natural thing to give this natural. The sun is not thinking about, oh, I had to warm up some planets because there I better generate some heat and some light. They're not thinking about that at all. Just a being exists by natural exists there is automatically benefiting. The mind, it's like that, not made out of anything, but naturally just presence. Naturally presence. Dharmakaya. Or you can say totality Or you can say universal mind. Universal mind. Universal mind is big mind, but guess what? It's one mind. Universal mind is a big, but yet it's one mind. Small mind is, I don't have to talk because we all have one. Small mind is when we defend ourselves and fight each other. And it's a symptom of small mind. Small mind. Because somebody training or they get into our comfort zone. So therefore, we have to do whatever we can, you know. Majority of things we can't defend ourselves anyway. But for whatever we can defend, we do that, then just give up. That's what we do. We're talking about as far as defending our mind, an individual mind. Next, slightly bent like a hook. Spine, straight as an arrow. We talk about spine. It's a wonderful, if your spines are straight, you will have better meditation. It is wonderful if your mind is a straight like an arrow, then you will never make mistakes. Only we make mistakes is when our mind is crooked, in a way, confused. Out of confusion, who expect we will do the correct one? So the mind confused, and we make more mistakes. If the mind is straight, who is the mind is the straight? Buddha's bodhisattva mind are very straight. Impartiality, equanimity. And everybody else is a little bit leaning towards the right side or left side. Or forward, or backward, or all of them at a few seconds. Every few seconds that they're rotating, all of those. That's not so good. That's not so good, in my opinion. So, spine straight as an arrow. In the human realm, we see some people make more common sense than other. Is probably he or she has a little bit straighter than others. She may not be perfect, he may not be perfect, but why he or she make a lot of common sense is it's a blessing because the community or sangha or society, more people make common sense are more reliable. And if somebody don't make common sense, it's not so reliable in a larger community. Including myself, I don't make common sense. But my not making common sense is very much in a Buddhist thing. Religious thing and practice thing. So the percentage of the whole world what I'm doing is un poquito, just very little, and nobody will know much, but that's okay. Nobody notice, that's okay, that much. So my not straight is leaning towards not common sense because the majority of people won't agree. However, those who agree and a small percentage is not really bad. Because if what we're doing here is a bad, everybody senses that slowly but surely everybody will disappear. They don't want to be part of that because it hurts you, it doesn't make sense, and it's not good. It means more people coming. That means something they value them, something they like them, something they're interested. eyes gazing about 4 fingers from the tip of the nose. So if you have big nose, just look from the nose. Grande nose, nariz, look at the nose directly. Tip of the nose. The idea is eyes not widely open, because widely open has some problem and a complete close has some problem. So I have to be kind of middle there, balance. When you meditate, beginners using the eye gaze in front more, as you are better advanced and intermediate, then your eyes are open, yet it's not you're meditating what you're watching. It's watching your nature or mind. We straight out that. And then, lips naturally relax and tongue against the palate. So, lips, close your mouth, but not need to be too strong. Natural, relax. Tongue against the palate, also natural. Because when you meditate, some people may be swallowing a lot of inside liquid. So no need to do that. So these are called the 7 Dharma gestures. Once we are seated comfortably, we begin to build our posture step by step using the 7 Vairochana Dharma gestures. So, if you don't mind, I want everybody practice that. by using the seven Virochana gestures that we talked about this morning, using that, and we're going to talk about a little bit more about meditation here. And if you are a beginner or new here, then every time when you meditate, you need to remember those seven parts of postures and use that as much as you can when you sit. Whether you are in a shrine room or whether you are doing in your leisure time, in your leisure time or wherever. It is essential for everybody learn to slow down and relax. Except your yoga, meditation, and walking don't slow down. You will slow down eventually, Mother Nature make you slow down. But until then, you don't slow down. When I say meditation, through meditation you slow down here is the stress. And stress is the word I use, stress and anxiety. Stress, anxiety, pressures. They are coming from everywhere. They are coming from your near and dear ones. And they are coming from your community. Society is large. And they are coming from everywhere for you, psychologically, biological, mentally, physiologically, I mean, everything. So there's a lot of that. Whether you see directly or you have no idea what we're talking about here, the fact, there's a lot of anxiety and stress. Because the stress and the anxiety contribute you unhappiness. According to Buddha teaching, unenlightened beings are more unhappy than happy, more unsatisfied than satisfied. Satisfied means life is satisfied. Unsatisfied means always not good. Something missing. Dissatisfied, unsatisfied. So, quoting Buddha teaching, sentient beings spend entire their life sad and sorrow related to unhappiness, dissatisfaction. That sounds like depressed. That sounds like a not very good deal to my opinion. To my mind, it says that sounds like a not very good deal at all. Entire life spending time with dissatisfied, unhappy, sad, and sorrow feeling, that's not a very productive life to me. So, teachings of the Buddha give a tool how we can switch that condition a little different. And that tool is called meditation and knowing everything. Meditation through knowing everything. Knowing everything means that knowing why we are suffering and pain and unhappy, and then knowing root of why we are suffering and why we are unhappy. Root. Not just knowing the fruition, but also know the cause of suffering is. And this chapter talks in the first Four Noble Truths taught by Buddha and post-teachings of the Buddha. So, going back there, so it's a genuine message here. Genuine situation. So the technique and tool is we learn the suffering is also temporary. Pain is a temporary. But multiple pain may be multiple. One pain is gone, but it's another type of problem. So the one stress is a little bit less, but the other stress is a little bit more. That's kind of happening. So here, knowing the pain and the suffering, and knowing the cause of pain and the suffering makes a major differences. And then person become, the person who know that become a more responsible person. And then what the responsible person means, oh, so this is something I have to deal with it and I can't run away. Why not I make friend with them? Why not I make a negotiation or make friend with them, fully deal with them? And that message is directly Buddha, the suffering and the pain is not there. If you are a responsible person, you did not take responsible something, and therefore things not turning into way you like to see. Once you take a responsible, if it's something to clean up, it's clean up. If it's something need to let it go, it's let it go. If it's something to melt, it will melt. So it's like a solution. Once you take the responsible, you're in a solution. The solution is be responsible. So practitioner seems like a less complaining, but more engaged in the practice and the virtuous action. And the practitioners are knowing the conditions of cause and effect. Therefore, they are not blaming anybody else. Blame. Normally, people blame somebody else because they don't want to take on. They want to blame somebody. So now, they're not blaming anybody. Reduce bad karma. You're reducing bad karma because you're not blaming anybody. And taking yourself does not mean negative way. You're taking responsible. Let's say if you owe money somebody, if you say, I forgot I owe you money, so really I don't remember. And the person who loaned you money is not very happy. If you say, I remember and I didn't pay you back, I'll pay you whatever I can every month. The person seems like, well, that's a good deal. Because he also get the money back without killing you, because killing is another problem. Killing is another lot of issues, a lot of complicated issues. You don't want to do that. So the least thing is get some part of the money back. If he says every month he will give you $30. So that deal is better. Exactly, karma, cause and effect, is that's kind of your deal. That every month, that every time I practice, I will do practice and accept my responsibility. It's another way of solve the problem. Many people, practitioners, those who don't have any $10 worth of possession, US dollar, $10 worth possession, and their entire practice, their life, their practice, and they reach a point more happier, more content, more gentle, more kindness than people who own a billionaire dollars. Billionaire dollar is a billionaire suffering and pain and worry and stress. Other than that, you maintain that and you pass on to somebody whether you like it or not when you died. So that's a solution. And how you can do that? Knowing the karma cause and effect, knowing your mind. So talking about knowing your mind, everybody, let's look into your own mind and deep inside your mind. What do you see in your mind? Do not tell me you don't have mind. If you don't have mind, then who is sitting? And who is listening? That is your mind. So let's meditate. So when you have a difficult time, I think same thing, difficult time, difficult day, you meditate at least 10, 15 minutes to 30 minutes and look directly into your mind, state of your mind. And after dealing with your mind, or after witnessing your state of mind, after spending some time with the nature of your mind, you will be turned into a different person. And you will feel different way. You will see a little different way. And that self is priceless. That self is priceless. Let's say, ironically say, you're thinking about kill somebody. And then you meditate your nature of mind and relax and really calm down. And then when you finish the meditation, that's the last thing you want to do. You realize that's the last thing I want to do. That's not in your menu. That's not in your do list. And that's a big thing. That's good. A relationship with the boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, same issue. Thinking about you want to do something bad. Or really say something negative. But if you meditate after you finish meditation, you have a different idea to deal with. That self is very valuable, phenomenal, the practice. So practice is not only helpful after your death. It is helpful right now as well. Right now. Right away. Some people looking for miracles. Just change everything like that. You need to know how to do that. And if you don't know how to do that, then miracle not happen. Miracle doesn't happen. Somebody do it. But to me, miracles are everywhere, every day. It's available. Only those who has skills and wisdom to do that. The miracles are everywhere. Miracles are, we experiencing miracles in the 21st century all the time. But people don't think those are miracles, like flying, like going under the water, calling from one side to corner of the world to the other side, talking. They think that's just, I pay for it, you know, I pay for 20 cents, 30 cents, like that. But no, it's all of them. Miracles are so available, we don't even see those are miracles. Now it's going to be more like North America will be miracle. Because there are so much people into that high tech and miracle. One of them, a respected teacher, Kenpo Tsutum Jansu, one time he was talking to me, either in a group or, I don't know, on private, me or group. He said, the spiritual miracles and power of miracles and related with the spirituals are tremendously reduced, and high-tech miracles are tremendously emphasized. Therefore, even today, 21st century, if one person flies without machine, the Campbell says it's not going to be surprising anybody. It says that, well, we just that time is coming. And then the question, going back to Buddhist study that I did, not only Milarepa, there are many other retreatants and yogis in the mountain. They fly every day. I've been told, other stories that related with, they should not be lying because they are well-known, world-respected teachers. Why they lying something that they didn't do? It says if it's in a mountainside cave, so they are in a cave, early morning, they fly one side of the mountain to the other side of the mountain because that mountain gets sun before the other side. So I want to be sunbathed a little bit. It sounds like the bird to me. And then a little later, they fly back to where his cave was. And then, unfortunately, a couple of people, some people down there in a valley, and they say, can you believe it? Do you see what I see? They said, what? Look, the people flying. Person is flying. They said, nah, no person is flying. And they said, look, look. And they look, and they saw the person is no wings. It's only hands doing like that, like Galati. And it's a flying. They saw it. So then both they saw it. It's no hypnotizer, so they want to find out who this person is. Then they climb up and go. Finally, they found it's a very strange looking guy with no clothes, very thin clothes, in a cape, meditating. And they both did the first station. Then they're witness, right? So no need to introduce. And says, who are you? And we saw you flying. Can we get blessings from you? They're coming, and then he opened up his eyes. He said, did you see me? What did you see? You're flying. What? I'm not flying. No, I saw you flying. And they both said, we saw you flying. Please bless us. And then he realized so he can't pull back that. So then he said, oh, okay, I'll give you a blessing. You promise that don't tell anybody I was flying around in this mountain until you hear that I was dead. And they both took the vows. It's in the book, Thousand Sounds of that Yo Chanti and Milarepa song. So they promised, and then after Milarepa is passed away, when they heard, then the Buddha says, me and my friend, we were yak herding in the mountains, and then we saw this story come out. So talking about flying is not a big deal. 21st century, everybody go, look, Superman. No, it's a llama fly. It's a mother told the child, says, it's just llama fly. Okay, thank you very much.